The following message was recorded at the 2012 No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the No Regrets Conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. And now, our featured presentation.
Welcome, guys. Hope you are either feeling satisfied with the lunch you had or perhaps your hunger pains are getting to you, but I'm sure always a good learning will get our attention on other things. I'm here to introduce Mike Murphy. He's an associate pastor here at Elmbrook Church, married for 26 years to Elizabeth, and has four sons. Help me give a warm welcome to Mike. For Mike.
Thanks. Well, everybody's got my handout. And so if you want to leave now that you got the handout, because now you can catch more seminars, and I'll just read this later and go to another one, I understand, as well. Let me just add a little bit in terms of who I am. I think it's always a fair question. You say, well, who is this person standing up here in front of? And you're really saying, why should I be listening to this person? As Dean said, a pastor here on staff, been part of the pastoral team for 11 years. Prior to that, I had an 18-year business career, and what I say to that is it means that I'm bilingual, meaning that I feel like I can speak in both worlds. In there, married 27 years, four boys, grew up in Texas, so I'm not from this part of the world, and moved around the country with my business career. I'm just kind of curious, because we're a smaller group here, we can probably be a little bit more informal here, but I'm just trying to find out, what are some of the reasons, why did you pick this seminar to come to in here as you read all your descriptions? I want to hear where you're coming from, or what's on your mind, or what are you hoping to hear, and it'll kind of let me know if I'm on track. And of course, if you say a bunch of things that I don't have anything prepared for, too bad you're going to hear what I've got to say. No, that's not true. What are some of the, let me just add, this is, let me ask you a question. How many people came here looking for a ways for people to, are looking for ways to serve in your church? Couple. How about in the community? Okay, how to begin. How many people are thinking of for themselves, and then how many are thinking about for others in their church? How about for others in your church? Okay. Most people are thinking about for themselves, how I should go about on this. Good. Well, you're in the right spot. You're in the right spot. I have not put together a talk here today of a bunch of Bible verses to build around this. I think we all know, we know this is part of being a follower of Jesus, is to be serving. And so I don't want to take that tack here today. I really want to share some experiences and really some lessons that I am learning, because I am a learner, as you are, on this issue of serving in the church and the community. But if I need to anchor what we're doing here today, it's on that one verse that is on your handout. For we are God's workmanship. And you think, you are God's workmanship. Have you ever thought about that for yourself? God has made you. God doesn't make substandard stuff. You're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So He's made you to do good works. Not for your salvation, but to do good works. And they're prepared. So the table has been set, and now the journey is to say, what is it God has made me to do? I can't tell you the number of men and women I talk to that are looking for, what is it I'm supposed to do? I want to do things, but what is it? What am I supposed to do? And I love to help people discover that and to go from there. I was looking at my description. Sometimes you say yes to a talk, and you say, now, what did I say yes to? And so I read my description that I submitted back in the summer. That's how when they start hammering you to get your descriptions for whatever it is you're going to talk about. First they tell you, here's the subject, and then give us a description for the talk that you haven't given. And so I was reading my description, and I just want to be truth to that. And it said that, how did I write this here? Let's see. Yeah, how do I describe this seminar here? That's what I wanted to say. Does somebody have it in front of them?
Should I read it for you?
Yeah, read me my description here.
Are you kidding me? Who has time?
Hold it, stop.
Oh, sorry.
So to answer the first question, no, I'm not kidding you. Okay, keep going.
I've got enough to do with my career, marriage, and parenting. Plus, I don't really have anything to offer. While we may not say it, we often think it. Serving can be so much more than something I ought to do. Add life, energy, excitement, and purpose through serving in your church and our community. Learn how it is closer than you think and easier than you realize to get started or rejuvenate.
Great. So to be true to my statement, let me answer the questions. Are you kidding me? No. And who has time? All of us. So there, I've now fulfilled what I said, so I haven't had any false things here about this seminar. But I would tell you, too, this thing about serving, as I have looked at it, you know, it is not extra credit. Sometimes we can think, you know, is serving is extra credit stuff that I do if I'm an overachiever. And so that's not it for the Christian life. Some people think serving, you know, they think of it as, oh, it's some kind of, it's chores, meaning it's some kind of work I've got to do that I really don't want to do. And you know what? It is not punishment. And I think we need to be reminded sometimes that it is good, it's for our joy, and it's for fulfillment. And the other thing is, I was thinking about what I would say today, too, is what I don't want to do. And if I do this, change it in your own mind, is I'm not here to guilt anybody or to shame you. You ought to be serving. If you were a real follower, what's wrong with you? So I'm not here to guilt or to shame anybody. But what I want to do is I want to encourage you on how you can take a step. And you know what? That's good enough. In fact, if you came here saying, I want to serve, but I don't know where, the fact that you're here is good. It's a step. And so I would first say kudos to you because you took a step. And I think that's the way we do it. If we're taking steps, you're doing good. God will honor and bless those steps. The other thing I think of, too, when I talk to people, I have not met a person, one, who said, you know what, I'll just do whatever. I really don't care to live a life with purpose. I mean, everybody wants to do something that's purposeful. And I would argue that finding purpose, finding meaning, it comes in serving. It's a funny thing, and I find that it is just so key in there. And so what I want to do today is answer some of those questions and really, as I said, help you to move forward and really to find, this is, Tori, you can say, man, I was wired for this. That is a cool place when you can say, I was wired for this. And from being a little bit of a skeptic, I tried to write down some questions on my outline that I'll answer for you. And the first question, someone says, you know, I was thinking, well, what gets in the way of us being able to serve in there? You know, what are those obstacles? And, you know, who doesn't say that, you know what, I'm really not that busy. In fact, I need some more stuff to do. Can you help me get busy? Nobody says it. Everybody is busy. All of us have full lives. There is stuff going on, and we can probably all look at our planners and see what we've got today when we finish here, and tomorrow I got this and that, da, da, da. We are all busy. But I have found that in spite of the busyness that we have in our lives, God makes a way. I don't know what's in your life that keeps you or that has got in the way of you being able to find that place, that sweet spot to serve. I would encourage you and tell you that God will make a way on how you can do this. And I think sometimes what we use as an obstacle, we should not, such as, well, my family is, you know, I'm so busy being a parent. My career is so demanding. I think sometimes we can use those as a scapegoat when in reality they are there for a purpose, and they can be, and God can use those things to still help us find a way. It just requires maybe a little more creativity to get there. And what, you know, what I've also found is that, you know, there is such joy. I think once again that serving isn't work, it isn't chores. There's a real joy in that. The other thing I've learned on when it comes to this serving stuff, I could have some job descriptions up here of serving things. You could read it and you say, oh, that's perfect. That's exactly what I want to do. And the reality is, as many of us have probably found out, and we think back into our serving life, it's probably not going to, it's going to change. It's not going to be what you thought it was. I can't tell you, I think we need to hold everything loosely in that once you get into it, it's probably going to change. So don't love it too much, because it's probably going to change. And don't be too hard on it if it's not perfect as you thought it would be that first day you started. It's going to change. Another thing I've learned, just generally speaking, on serving, is that you've got to have some good boundaries in this area of serving. You know what? The church, at least this church, will never tell you to stay home and not do so much. I don't know of a church that says, you know, you're serving too much, you need to stay. They'll just say, come on, bring it on. And, you know, we got to have some boundaries on that serving. There's times we need to tell our church, no, I get too many other things, I can't do it. And you need to push back from even people that are respected. They can kind of guilt you or shame you sometimes, or put some Bible verses on it to really make you feel bad about it. Why, I ought to be here. But you know what? You need to have some boundaries. And I would tell you, first off, if you're married, listen to your wife. Your wife will help you with that if you are serving too much. And so you have a responsibility, first and foremost, to your family. So don't let the serving in the church, don't sacrifice your family on the altar of serving at the church. That is the first thing God has given you to take care of. So take care of your family in there. I say that from experience. There was a time in my business career where I traveled about 80% of the time. And I traveled and I loved my job. And I had a ministry where I got to go to Ethan Allen School, prison for boys, our teenagers, let's say. And I would often, my travel was airplane travel, so I would oftentimes get off the plane, come home, get a bite to eat. And my wife, we had four little boys. And I'd whoop it down and say, well, got to go. Got prison to go to. As if I had some, you know, this is so sanctified and everything. And I would leave my wife and my little boys there as I'm going off to help there. I was flat out wrong. And it drove her nuts. She was patient with me. But you know what? That was wrong for me to, in essence, put my family aside in order to be doing this serving side of stuff. So we need to, the point is, we got to listen to your wife, have some healthy boundaries to protect things at home. Second boundary I'm thinking of, when I worked at this large company here in town that moved me around, I remember being in some meeting with a bunch of senior manager type guys, and we were talking about working, and this one senior guy said, oh yeah, that guy over there, guy drives me nuts. He's always in his thing, always doing Bible studies. And the guy is a crummy engineer, but boy, he's got his Bible studies. And this guy here was here with this guy, and he was so diligent. He put more time into his Bible studies, these spiritual things, and he was a bad employee. He was a bad witness. So I think the point of it is, we need to do our best. If you're in a place of serving and you're wanting to integrate your faith into your serving place, first and foremost, your responsibility to your employer, premier. We got to be, our witness speaks loudly in that. And so our serving should not be, give us some kind of justification to be a substandard employee. Also, we can be serving for Jesus. And that happens sometimes. So that's just having some of those boundaries in there. That second bullet I have is about, well, what's the payback? What's in it for me? Nobody would ever be so crude and crass as to say, well, what's in it for me, God? What am I going to get out of this? But in reality, we are always constantly evaluating options, and we are asking that, you know, so what am I going to get out of this? If I do this, can I expect something out of it? I'm saying that knowing that nobody here would really say that. But let me say this, and first off, as I think about that question, is we need to first be reminded, you know what, it's not about me. You know, the Christian life, we are so individualistic sometimes. We need to push our individualism aside and recognize it's not about me. And we need to look at Jesus when he says that he came to serve and not to be served. He set an example. We are blessed to be a blessing. We have all been blessed in this room. Well, I don't know a single one of you, Dan. I don't really know anybody else in this room. You have been blessed for a reason. And it's to be a blessing to another. Here's the other thing, too, that I have found interesting is that the more that I said, this is, you know, we're all looking for more of something. And what's the paradox is the more that we give of ourselves away, the more we receive. If you've ever been in that, you find it's weird math. God's math is weird. That by serving and putting time in, giving something away, I really get, and it's hard to explain to others, but it is a reality. And I can't think of a person who is not looking for a full life. And I am discovering this is where life is lived to the full. I think the Christian life is so exciting, so incredibly, such an adventure that, man, who doesn't want a piece of this action? You know, because there is so much cool stuff going on. And I don't care if you're at a big church or a little church. And I think there is such a testimony when we are serving and people see that in us. They want that. And, you know, and none of these things can really be bought. That's what's amazing to me. This fullness and everything, it is not, you can't buy it in there. And, you know, there's not a person who's not looking for significance and meaning. And this is where it's found, in serving. The other thing is I think about this serving, and this is kind of new to me. Oftentimes we think about, well, I can either do serving in the church or serving in the community or the world. It's an either or. And I would suggest to you that it's a both and. You say, my gosh, I just want to serve. And now you tell me I got to serve in two places and hold down two jobs or whatever. And we need to think of it like this. And that is, it's about we serve in the church to build the body. You know, this is our home. And we need to build the body. We've got chores, let's call them. We've got duties we do around the house. And then but then we're also to be about advancing the kingdom. It's a both and. God has called us to, we're a part of a body. We have responsibilities in the body, but He's also called us to kingdom business to advance the kingdom. And so I don't mean that to put pressure on you, but I do want to put it in the context of, you know what? You know, are you doing both? Do you have a place where you're part of the body and doing your part? And are you doing something to advance the kingdom? I don't know if you were looking for that or if that's news to you, but that's been a thing that I have wrestled with at times of thinking, you know, I choose between those two. And if I'm doing one, you can't bug me on the other one. And I have had to correct myself and say, that's not true. I need to be doing both. This next question about, well, what can I do to get moving or how do I get started? And, you know, we often hear people talk about their spiritual gifts. And that's where you need to go serve. Find out what your spiritual gift is and start serving. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I would suggest that it really doesn't take us far enough. And what I have learned and what I like is this approach that I'm starting to get to know is the idea of knowing not your spiritual gift, but know your shape. You know what your shape is. And it's a way to lead us to serve in the church and out of the church. And shape, if you're not familiar with that acronym, comes out of from Rick Warren and those guys at Saddleback. And it's about knowing, yes, the S is shape, knowing your spiritual gifts. God has given us all gifts that go beyond our natural talents. The H is your heart. What are you passionate and enthusiastic about? And you might say, well, I'm passionate about football. Okay, write football. If that's it, coaching football, you write that down. But what is it you're passionate and enthusiastic about it? It's not silly. You might say, well, I'm into model trains. I'm trying to make up things and think of things that have absolutely, you think there's no spiritual connotation to. I would debate that with you. But whatever it is you've got a heart for, the A is your abilities. What do you know how to do? You might say, man, I can run an Excel spreadsheet better than anybody. Or you might say, I'm really good at swinging a hammer. I don't know. What are your abilities? I'm excellent at Xbox. Man, I can play Call of Duty like nobody else. I know that because I don't play Call of Duty, just so you know. So my boys do. Personality. What is your personality? Some people are introverts. Some are extroverts. You know, how has God wired you? What is your personality like? And then E, your experiences. What are your, what have you experienced? Good, bad, or ugly? Maybe you've been fired from a bunch of jobs. Maybe you've moved a lot. Maybe you had a really tough childhood. What are those experiences? And what I want to suggest to you is that we need to know our shape, not just our spiritual gifts. Oftentimes when you say, well, my spiritual gift is administration, if that's one we want to pick one. And if you say that, then often what happens in the church, well, here, you just need to do administrative stuff. and we let that paint us into a corner. And what we need to understand is we need to be more holistic. It's almost like looking at a, you know, looking at an object and say that's what it is, but you know, you need to look from the side and from behind and the other side, and we need to really do a 360 how God has wired us and what has He poured into us. And it really requires time. I think it's always kind of, it's kind of sad where we take a 50 question spiritual gifts inventory and we say, therefore, that's what I need to do. I think that is so selling God so short of who He has made us to be. Remember, you're God's workmanship. You sell yourself so short when you think, well, that's what I got to do. I guess I got to do something in that area. Or I've been told I had this gift because that's what it came up with on the test. And you know what? We need to slow down and we need to look and start to know what our shape is. And how do you find that? Yeah, there's, you can read the book. You can take the class or whatever and experience that. But I find, and when it comes to serving in your church, you know, first, it'll lead you into relationship with others. I find it's transformational. And you know, that's how you find out what it is you like to do and not like to do. I can remember when I first came here in 1992 as just a member, and I wanted to serve. And I saw a thing in the bulletin about parking cars. And I thought, that'd be kind of cool, you know. Plus, I was new to the area from Texas. Oh, man, being out in the snow, I thought that sounded kind of neat, you know. Not very smart. And so I wanted to park cars, and so I got a flag, and I got an orange hat and a vest, and they put me in a part of the parking lot where hardly nobody came, nobody talked to me. I hated it. And I didn't get along. I just didn't have good chemistry with these guys, and I tried it. I didn't like it. And so I said, you know, guys, I'm going to do something different. I don't think they even, no one really cared or whatever, but the point is you try things. And if it doesn't fit or you don't like it or if it's not what you thought it would be, yes, you honor your commitment. But then to move on, and I think often the way we find our shape, find those places to serve, is to try it for a period of time and to see see how it goes. And see if it, if when you get finished, at the end of doing it, you might be exhausted, but can you say, you know, man, that really energized. I kind of got into that. I like that. That's one sign when you know you're in the right spot, regardless of what the test might have said. Did you enjoy the people you were with and just the interaction? It was kind of fun. You found yourself talking about it or not. And so I would just simply tell you, oversimplifying things a little bit, I would say, take a chance. Try it. And be willing to be humbled. You might be really bad at it. Be willing to laugh at yourself in those things. And I would tell you the baseball metaphor, lean into the pitch. You know, when you're asked to do something, oh man, I remember talking to a guy and I said, you know, I called him, they needed help with some prison ministry stuff. And I told him where I had done something before. And I said, well, I did it when I lived in North Carolina. And I showed up with these group of guys and they were mostly in their 20s. And the guy said, oh, you've worked with youth. No, I haven't. Well, to him, that was you. Well, you need to go here. And he sent me out to Ethan Allen at that time. That's not what I wanted to do. That's not what I thought I could do. But I just went anyway and to see what would happen. And you know what? It was, for a season of my life, it was the right place to be for me. And you know what? You lean into those pitches when you're asked to do something you don't really think you can do. Give it a shot. Stuart Briscoe says, you know what? If you're gifted at it, here's how you find out if you're gifted at it. You try it, and if they ask you to do it again, might be gifted in that. I love to preach, but no one ever asked me to come back. Maybe you're not such a good preacher or such a good singer if you wanted to do music in there. So that's one of those ways you find it. And once again, I think we make these things so much harder than they have to be. And I think when we are in serving, we are being discipled and we are discipling others. I find, you know, as Jesus, so much of that discipleship, it was done as they walked along the road, as they did things together. It's not in the classroom. It's not always in the small groups. It's just being part of it. So I just encourage you just to give it a shot and go for it. When I talk about serving too around here, is that I think it's important to recognize serving is not just volunteering. Volunteerism is rampant in this country, and that's fine, and there is a place for that, and there's not a thing wrong with it. But what's different, I believe, in the church, should be different, is that, you know what, it is Spirit-enabled. The Spirit is carrying you into these situations, is enabling you to do things that you really just can't do on your own when we go with that right heart. And so serving is more than just volunteering, because it also, it reflects back to God, It builds the kingdom. It points people to God. It brings glory to Him. I don't care if you're here working in the kitchen, cleaning the dishes that are... You know what? It's doing those kinds of things. And that's not. And I'm not over-spiritualizing at all, but I think that's what's different in this. And as I said, you know that you're in the right spot. When you know it's a sweet spot when you finished, and you just can't get over how much fun I've enjoyed this, even though I might be just totally worn out from it. Last thing I want to do, I get that question, so, well, what should I be aware of as I get started in there? And what I did was I sat down and I wrote down, just it was just more of a stream of consciousness, if that's the right way to say it, of lessons we've learned. We started about 5 years ago a thing in Waukesha called James Place, and it's been an outreach for us as a church into the community of just trying to get to know and to serve and to be there and to be available. And God has done some incredible things, more for us as a church than what we ever thought we were doing for others. And I could go on and on about that, but I get asked to talk about that a lot. And so I just said, well, what have I learned? What has God been teaching me in that process? And as I sat down, at what you're looking at are really some lessons I've learned of a community outreach strategy that we started 5 years ago, and what's come of it. And as I looked at those principles, as I'm calling them, I started to say, you know what, some of them are transferable in the church as much as they are out of the church. And they look maybe a little cryptic, and we can ask questions on that as you look at those. And I'll just kind of go through them, and you might raise your hand and say, hey, what do you mean by this one here? I don't understand that. And so some of them, I've written them a little bit, so they might look a little controversial, but that's on purpose. You know, one of those first things I've learned out in the community is, you know, you look for an insider. If you're trying to find a place to serve out in the community, I find it is so helpful when you find somebody that you trust, who's there, who knows it, who can kind of invite you in and can kind of whisper in your ear and tell you, this is what's really behind that. This is what's going on. For me, it was a guy named Phil Lee. Phil Lee has been a guy that has, he lives in downtown Waukesha, and in those early days, he was telling us, here's the issues, here's who the power brokers are, here's what you don't want to talk about, this is the controversial issues. So when you can find somebody who knows the language of where you're wanting to serve, that is a huge thing when you're trying to pick a place. I would also say, never underestimate what you have to offer, even though you haven't done a thing. And that is in the church or out of the church. You have more to offer than you realize. Remember, you are God's workmanship. You're not just a blank. You have more than you realize. And I find so much, it's not about how good you are, it's about just showing up. Just showing up and pushing play, in essence, like on the DVD player. Just show up. And it's huge, this whole ministry of presence, just being there. I can't tell you how much that speaks to people that you just showed up, even though you might not think you're very good at it. That next one on there about the gaps. When you're looking and you're trying to pick a place to serve in the church or the community, what are the gaps in your church? What are the gaps in your community? And try to address a gap. You know, that's one way to know where to start. And just asking somebody, what are your gaps? How could I help? If you were to go to your pastor at your church and say, what's a gap that we have here? You know, that you know it's the gap. And it's not because you're doing a bad job, but sometimes there are more gaps and more needs than there are people and resources. So to ask somebody that question, they are so honored that you would ask and you would have the courtesy to ask that, as opposed to just driving in and say, I'm here to do this, or I'm going to fix that, you know, having this posture of being kind of a little bit of the arrogant side. So just to ask somebody that question, I found that was the number one question for us when we started in Waukesha, was just asking that question as we met with the mayors, as we met with the different city leaders or the heads of the hospitals and just different people like that, just saying, what are your gaps? It is such a simple question that is really powerful. And wherever you start serving, I would tell you, be patient. We live in a results-oriented culture where we want to know how many people came to Jesus, how many people walked in here, what was the dollars on that, da, 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 da. We want to have all these measurable numbers, and I understand the need for numbers and accountability, But you know what? You might not see it. And don't let that discourage you if you don't see anything, because maybe God doesn't want you to see it, because he knows you couldn't handle it. If you saw how much he was really doing, you might go to your head a little bit. So maybe God isn't going to show you, but be patient. And when people start to give you the heat, well, what's really going on there? Is there really any fruit from that effort? That's an okay question to be asked, but don't get discouraged by it. And hold true to what God has placed on your heart. If he has asked you to do whatever, and you just know that's it, keep at it. When we started in Waukesha, I asked these ladies to do blood pressure, because I didn't have any friends, and I needed somebody to go down there with me to help me, and I knew they would help. And these ladies, they came Tuesdays and Thursdays from 11 to 1, and they set up the sandwich board to do blood pressure as we were starting there. And the most we ever had in a week was like one or two. And it went that way for like 6 to 8 months. And people said, what are we doing? But you know what? They really felt called to this, and we really felt it was the right thing, and we couldn't understand it. So be patient, even though you might not see the results for a while. God has called you to be faithful. He hasn't called you to be impressive, as you might deem that. The other thing, too, I wrote on here in the community, sounds kind of heretical here, don't leave with Bible studies and programs from the church. I've learned out in the community so much of what they want. They don't want your Bible studies. They don't want your program that you did at your church, as good as it was there. They really don't want to start there. You might be right as rain that that's what they need, but you have not earned the right to bring that there yet. And plus, it comes across as kind of arrogant that you know what they need. And so I'd say, you know, you just show up and you say, well, how can I? Once again, the gap. What is the gap? And more importantly, more than anything, they're probably just going to need your time as opposed to your program. So I would tell somebody, go slow, just work on the relationships, and you earn credibility over time, and things will come to you without you having to drive it. We all know what it feels like to drive something. I think we've all done that at times where we just get so fixated and we're going to just hammer it and get to that finish line. And I'm finding in ministry, it comes to you. Without you having to stir it up, God will make it happen. And we know what that looks like and feels like, the difference between driving something and letting God just kind of run with it. And that's not just sitting there doing nothing, but it is about watching for where God's at work. This question, you know, if your church vanished, would your community weep? That's the question. When I look out for the church here, I said, you know what, if Elmbrook Church vanished, poof, disappeared, would this community, in this case downtown Waukesha, would they weep? Would they even care? And you know what? It did take long. I could answer that. I said, no. They don't even know this place exists. We're 3.1 miles from downtown Waukesha. Many of the people that live there don't even know this place is here. And it was just a conviction to me that we need to be out of this place and go to them and meet them on their turf, instead of thinking if we just build it, they will come. They won't. People will not come to you in many cases. So you got to go to them. And that's more of a question that just drives me and pushes me along the way. Another key thing that has helped us out in the community is over at James Place is no free stuff. I find it is a recipe for failure to give away free stuff. That sounds very unchristian-like, because aren't we supposed to give? Yes, we are. I know, you know, we're to be giving. But you know what? When we take that mercy and we divorce it from justice and things that are more holistic, things get distorted. And so I have learned that it is a recipe for failure. When you just start to give stuff away, you're just enabling. And it really becomes toxic. It does not help people move along in there. Whether you're in the church or out, just love the people. You know what? There are government programs and this and that, and they do good at what they're supposed to do, but they are not set up to love people. That sounds maybe a little strange. As a church, we are. And so find a place where you can just love, them, and people know it. They can tell when you're faking it, and go from there. I'm going to skip around on some of these bullets here because I'll let you come back. But if I start to pick ones, in the early days at James Place, I went up to Phil Lee, who was the building owner, and when we started there, and he owns the building where we started with, and It was not going well, in my estimation. And I went to him and I said, Phil, it's bad. He's a senior elder, so I'm going to go to him for some words of wisdom and help me through this, or tell me what I need to do and give me that silver bullet. And he says, you know, and I'm having this pity party. And he said, well, Mike, here's what you need to remember. You just need to start where you are, start small, and start now. And he walked away, literally. And I think, that's it? That's all I get, Phil? I come to see you, and all you can tell me is start where I am, start small, start now? But I have found in ministry, in the church, or out in the community, that's where it is. Just where has God planted you? In your workplace, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your church. That's where you are. Start small. I just go, but the boy with the fishes and loaves, everything with God, everything with Jesus, everything was so small, so insignificant. And oftentimes in the churches today, especially at a big church like this one here, you can sometimes think, well, I got to have this big production. I need to be focusing on the thousands. If we're going to have a no regrets at our church, it's got to be this magnanimous thing. I tell you, start small and then just start. So whatever it is you've got in your heart that you want to do, If it's big, I'm telling you, slow down. In fact, hit the reset button. Make sure you start small on this. And I would tell you, just start things, stop things, experiment, take risks. It is so, if you're not taking risks that require the Spirit's power to really make this happen, I think we're almost I think we're insulting God. Are you taking some risks? I'm not saying be foolish, but take some risks. In one sense, kind of test God. See, God, I could count on you to show up. Now, I'm not being an idiot about this, but the only way this is really going to happen is God's going to have to move on this, because I'm not sure. God's going to have to bring some other people in on this, because I don't know how to do these other parts. Whatever that is, it's okay to not have it all down, to have it all together, to have this great 5-year strategic plan with a P&L and cash flow and this and that, da 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 da. You might just have a great idea and a love for something or people, and you're counting on him to show up with some others. Share your story of what your love is, your passion, what you're asking, and watch God bring people to you. And let that be the confirmation to keep on. And when it comes to serving any of these places, none of us are really that good. But the truth of it is, what we all have is we've got time, we can offer encouragement and support. That is what people want. I can't tell you the number of agencies and groups in the community. That's what they want. We just want your time. And in reality, that is the number one commodity in this country. It's time. There are lots of people that can write checks. That is the easy part, people that write checks. But to have time, now it's really pressing somebody when you ask them to put in a bunch of time in there. And so I would just say, that is what really amazes a watching world. And I often say, too, this stuff is this life of just walking with people. It looks very inefficient. But I think what Jesus looked very inefficient. He's come to save this world, and he's going to start with just this small ragtag group of not the best guys, let's say, not an impressive lot. And you know what? I think that's what we're called to do, things that might not look very efficient by world standards. But if God has placed it on your heart, lean into that and go for it. This I have at the end here is just, and I'll have some, if you want to ask a few questions, was this thing about in James 2:17, faith without works is dead. And so I think of a runway, or think of a racetrack. You got one lane line, and I think of James 2:17, faith without works is dead. Okay, I need to be in the game. And then you go exactly two chapters over, 4:17. So it's a perfect lane. Faith without works is dead. When I go to 4:17, it says, and when you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, it's sin. Oh, man, I don't want to hear that. But when you know what you got to do, I know what I'm supposed to do, and when I don't do it, I'm out of bounds. I'm out of line. I'm out of the race. And so don't let yourself get thrown out of the race when you know what you ought to do in there. Let me pray, and then if you got some questions here about any of these points here. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, and I just pray for each man in this room as he is thinking of things that he ought to do or he wants to do. Lord, I just pray today that he will see what that step is, and he will take that step tomorrow, and he'll tell somebody today of what he will do as a result. So, Lord, we just thank you for offering us these works that you've prepared that will bring purpose and joy and fulfillment. Help us to grab hold of those things, Father, that are right there. And just lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just open it up. And the last thing I'll mention to you that's on your sheet there, I put down three books that I'm really big on. The Externally Focused Church, so practical, so helpful when you're just trying to think, well, what can we do? I'm not sure. I mean, great, great examples full of stories and just really a great scriptural foundation is laid for that. The Shape Book, if you want to dig into trying to really understand your shape of where you fit, that's a great book. Toxic Charity, this is the new book, or the subline is how churches and nonprofits do more harm than good, what they can do to reverse it. So that's a recent thing for me. But any questions you have on some of these principles, things that you read on here that I mentioned, just because we're a small enough group, we can ask questions. Yeah.
How is serving and volunteering different?
Yeah, when I think about, and this is my explanation on it, and we could debate that, is that I find that volunteering, when I think of volunteers, I'm going to pick on a corporate event. Our company has signed up, and we're going to go to this school, and we're going to paint. That is volunteering. There's nothing wrong with that. That is fine and good. Serving, when I think of serving, where we are servants in there, what's different I find is that when we go, we're going in Christ's name. I find that we are pointing people not to me, not to my company, but we're wanting to point people to God. We're wanting to bring glory to him on why we're there. I find that it reflects God. Well, how does it reflect God? I see the people that go and serve, there is a countenance. This sounds kind of squishy, I know. But, you know, if you've met people, and there's just something in their eye, the way they look, the way they act, the way they handle themselves, you know, there's something different about them. So I find those that come with that servant attitude, where they have come to serve, you know, almost like with a bended knee. It's a certain humility. I find that that's different. And I think we need to work at, I mean, that's not to say we should never use that word, because we do ask people to volunteer. But I think, you know what, the church is called to be different. I think what we do here in serving in the community ought to look different than GE Healthcare when they have their employee serving day. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not casting judgment on, but we ought to be, and if we're not, if we don't look different, what do we need to do? How do we need to change that? And that's something we're working at that, because oftentimes we just volunteer. But I think a good example, when I just walk around here today, the guys are in t-shirts. They are here volunteering. But there's something about them. They just look different. There's a different attitude. They're serving today. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it's something
it's kind of the same, but I can see, and
we need to let people know. That's not so us to feel puffed up about what we're doing, because I'm here to serve you, but I think it is making sure of why we're doing this, because the truth is, so much of what we do in the church or out or what happens out there, it's really to make me feel better. Why do churches give? It makes us feel good. And I think we need to check ourselves. Am I doing this so I feel better? Or am I doing it truly to serve somebody? But that's a great question. And I think it's one we have to wrestle with. And it's hard to kind of get your arms around a little bit. Yeah. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I belong to a small church in Germantown. And our pastor has kind of challenged the men's ministry to reach out to the community more.
Yeah.
What are the specific needs that you're seeing, Mike, in Waukesha? I mean, what are the people really looking for that would give us something to focus on?
Yeah. You know, I would, you know, in Waukesha, first I would say, you know, when you look at your men's ministry, maybe to first take inventory, you know, if you look at those men, that's an asset. Do an asset inventory. What do we have in our men's group? You might say, we got a bunch of skilled tradesmen. Maybe, you know, maybe there's something that'll be real easy to see. Kind of take inventory of what do you have in your group. How many? What's our availability? What do we possess certain kinds of skills or interests or experience? Kind of what's the shape of our group? And then when it comes to then finding a place to serve, I would say, you know, you brainstorm among ourselves. And then I would pick a leader. You might say, you know what, we're going to pick Whittier Elementary. We go to the principal and we're going to say we want to come here for the next year. And to pick a I would tell you, pick a place and stay for a period of time, because it's about building relationships with that entity. First, they'll be shocked that you showed up. They will have a heart attack when you come back. And you do it again, and they will ask you questions. Why do you guys keep coming back? They won't believe it. And I would tell you this, I have found in the community, when you find a leader, you know, and you say, we just want to come and do this, and this is what we have, this is what we do. First, they're so appreciative. I found them so easy to work with. And I find, too, they often will say, you know, we've always wanted to work with, but we didn't know how to talk to a church. You were unapproachable, is what they were saying. And so to go to them and to say, you know, many of our people, you know, let's pick on school. You might say there's a school right there in Germantown or New Berlin, and say, you know, we live here. We're your neighbors. How can we help at the very school that our kids are going to? We just want to be there and let them talk to you and just tell you. But I don't know if that's answered your question or not. But
yeah, we're just trying to figure out where to start. I mean, our pastor, he's great at mission. He's in Haiti right now with his family, so we can't argue that he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to follow along and see where we fit in. So that's been a little bit of a stump for us.
Yeah.
I know, trust God and believe.
Yeah.
So
and you say y'all are where?
You're in Germantown.
In Germantown.
Stony Hills. The Presbyterian Church.
Okay. Yeah, I would say if you were to go to a, you know, maybe it's a school in Germantown, you know, I think maybe everybody goes and we just, I mean, y'all go on a bit of a, you know, an expedition, and you just start to check and see what are the needs where, and I would say make it close. Yeah. Close to where you are. I know that in Waukesha there is a hidden level of poverty in this county that you won't see. And so, but if you just got to look a little bit, and I find the secular is a great place to go, and they would love to work with you. It's not to say you shouldn't go to the Christian places, but I think it's about advancing the kingdom, and I find those places are really, they're closer than you think. But maybe start close, make it convenient for you guys of where you are, and just ask some questions. What are your gaps? They'll tell you. They'll tell you what the gaps are. What else? Yes, sir.
I got a good example of serving and volunteering. I'm a scout master for my son's Boy Scout troop, and once a year the troop volunteers to help out with a low-income community. Our church, City Church, has a support the service we manage at the holiday season.